So thank you for joining me today. My name is Michelle Alfie, and we'll be covering the topic of reincarnation. So my teacher Eliyahu Jian has been extremely passionate about having his students at Vital Transformation teach. So I was the first one to volunteer, so wish me luck. And really the goal is for all of us to be teachers, not only in this type of forum, but for whoever we are with in our lives. So I'm honored to be able to share with you guys today, and thank you to Debbie and Eliyahu for the opportunity. So today we're going to cover reincarnation, and first we want to stop and ask, what is reincarnation? And reincarnation is the journey of the soul through different lifetimes. So this is going to be the first class of a 3-class series, and today's class will cover kind of the basics. So we'll talk about the different levels of the soul, spiritual cleansing, what pain does, and the rewards of pain, and why do we even reincarnate? So I'm going to keep it very basic. I want you guys to attend the second and third lecture, so I don't want to scare you off. So we'll do the basics of reincarnation today. So when thinking about reincarnation, why is it important to learn about reincarnation? There's so many different topics that we learn from. We do the Zohar classes, there's palm and face reading. Why reincarnation? Why is that even important? Why should you be taking notes? Why should you even be attending this class? So I'd like to start off with a quote from the Ari in the Gates of Reincarnation. And every individual is on a personal journey to personal rectification, and the journey of one person is never the same as that of another. So really the goal of this course is to give you tools to make your life better. So if you're going on a treasure hunt, you're not going to go to your neighbor's yard and start digging a hole. It'd be kind of awkward, they might call the police. But if you're looking for a treasure in your life, and that treasure could be blessings, health, prosperity, you're not going to just start looking in some random yard for that treasure. You want to have a treasure map. You want to have a roadmap. You want to know what things you need to do and what you need to uncover those blessings. So today's course will really kind of go through the roadmap and give you the tools for you to uncover your personal treasure. So to get started, we're going to talk about the levels of the soul. So there's 5 levels of the soul, and it starts from the bottom to the top, so the lowest level going to the highest level of the soul. So the first level is nefesh, and the nefesh is the level of the soul that you're born with. So that corresponds to action. So nefesh, the first one, the lowest. Then we're going a level higher, and the second level is the ruach. And that happens around the age of 12 or 13, and that corresponds to your speech. So the ruach is higher than the level of nefesh. The third level is the neshama, and that corresponds to your thoughts, your thinking. And that usually happens around the age of 20. So many of you here are over the age of 20. Don't get excited. You probably are not at the level of neshama. It's just kind of a gauge in terms of the age. A lot of people actually get stuck in the second level, the ruach, under the speech. And a lot of their work throughout their lives is correcting the third part. So for the fourth and fifth level, that is not something that we can reach in this physical world. So we'll only be focusing on the first 3 levels. So that's kind of good news. You get 2. So how do you know what level to work on and which level to work on? Have you finished the first level? Are you still stuck at the baby phase? So really, kind of just to break it down. So for the first level, let's say you're at the level of nefesh and you're working on your actions. A lot of times people are stellar with their actions. They're really kind, they give charity, they do good things. But when it comes to the level of their ruach, their speech, they're stuck. So a great example would be someone gives charity all day, they do kind things, and when they get home, they just speak bad about people all night to their friends at dinner. So for this type of level, a lot of people don't understand why they do great things in their life and the blessings and the good things are not manifesting. So you can be doing wonderful things and giving charity and being kind to strangers and helping an old lady cross the street. But at the end of the day, you speak bad about yourself, you speak bad about others, you don't compliment someone when you need it. That negative action is actually preventing all the wonderful things you do from manifesting in your life. So the way you can look at it, Eliyahu gives a great example, is your soul and you yourself are a champagne glass. And the champagne glass has some dirt, has some filth on it, and there is a bottle of champagne, $10,000 bottle of champagne waiting to fill your glass. But the problem is you don't want to pour the champagne in the glass because the champagne or the blessings or all the wonderful things waiting for you, if it goes into the cup, it's going to be contaminated. So a lot of times it's not even all the great things we do, it's cleaning the negativity that's within our cup that is preventing us from connecting to all the wonderful things we've done. And I think that's why a lot of people wonder, you know, why bad things happen to good people, and but I do all this great stuff, and why is nothing going my way? Sometimes it's as simple as refraining from the negative acts that allow all those wonderful things to fill your cup. So the way that it works when you're completing each level of the soul is you can think of it as a video game. So my video games back in the day was Mario Brothers. They're a little bit more high tech now. But the way it works is you complete the first level, which is Nefesh, and then you move on to the second level. And once you've completed that level, you can move on to the third level. So you don't kind of jump from one level to another. You complete one complete level of the soul, and then you can move on to the next. The good news is, if you're working on the third level of the soul, the neshama, and you damage that level, you don't start all the way over. You don't start from level one, which is the nefesh. You get to just start at the beginning of the level of neshama, which is great news. But oftentimes we come back in many reincarnations to fix a certain level. So you can come back a whole lifetime just to work on the ruach, and maybe even another lifetime. So now that we've understood the different levels, so how do we cleanse these levels? How do we elevate? How do we get to that third level? And let's start by the nefesh. So let's say we're working on cleansing our nefesh. So this is the part that deals with actions. So let's say you do all great things and you're kind and you give charity. You also want to focus on the negative things that we do. So for example, stealing, robbing a bank, cheating, maybe harming someone physically. So these are all the things, negative actions, that you would have to refrain from in order to correct the nefesh level of your soul. So some things are more challenging for some people, some are not as challenging for others. I didn't wake up this morning wanting to rob a bank, thankfully, but we all have our negative traits that we have to work on preventing ourselves from doing in order to cleanse that level. So I'll share one of mine. It's not to rob a bank, don't worry. My challenge, I think, with negative actions is impatience. So hopefully none of you have been in a car with me, but for whatever reason, when I get into a vehicle and road rage and me are not a good match. So usually when my friends and I are going out, they always offer to drive because they've been in the car with me. And I'll try to take an Uber just because I don't want the challenge of being on the road with people. I also get to work at 6:30 in the morning because I don't want other cars there. So I try to maybe avoid it the best I can, but what happens, hopefully you'll never see it, but I become really angry, very impatient, I high beam, I honk, I make up bad words, name it, and I've done it. So for me, the impatience in the car is a very challenging trait that I've been actively working on. It's not easy, but I'm very aware of it. So maybe if you guys can stop and take a second and think of maybe something that you act in that's a negative trait. It could be impatience, it could be jealousy, it could be something you know, maybe you want to rob a bank, and maybe take a minute and maybe if anybody would like to share. You guys are all, you guys don't have negative traits.
Okay, I'm very impatient. When I see something that's right, the right thing that's supposed to come my way doesn't. So I become reactive and like, this, why not? This is the way it's supposed to be. So I notice that a lot with when I deal with the bank or I deal with the, even phone company. So I'm trying to work on it, but it keeps coming back.
Yeah, that's like my road rage, yeah.
So I'm very impatient, so it's like, it doesn't happen, and I become reactive, like, yeah.
Yeah, impatient.
I was today at the supermarket, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I was just getting a newspaper from my father, and the guy in front of me said, well, she was in line behind you, and she wasn't. And like, but I felt so, I just got really mad. And then I'm saying, you know what, it doesn't matter, but I could feel the anger and that saying, that's not right, that's not just, I'm correct, you're not. And you know, I let it go, but I could still feel that anger was there. And it's a stupid newspaper, waiting in line, the lady was actually carrying a baby, so I would have probably let her go anyways. But I was aware of that negative power that was coming over me. Which is impatience and stuff.
So. Was that today?
It was this morning.
Yeah.
And then I'm at Whole Foods, and I do it again. But this time, I knew I was wrong. It was apologizing.
Impatience is a big one. I think everyone has somewhere to be, or everyone's always late for something. So I think impatience is a really big one. So for me, when I'm driving in the car and I notice that that's happening, not that it makes it any easier, but I stop and I kind of think, wow, I got upset at this person. You know, maybe they're driving their pregnant wife to the hospital and they just cut me off. Unlikely, but it could happen. Or they didn't realize that they cut me off. It was an accident. You know, sometimes I tell myself those things, and just, I think, being aware of it prevents you from doing that again. And I think also knowing that those negative actions is preventing your cup from being filled. So every time you engage in that behavior adds more dust to your champagne cup. I think just the knowledge of it and the consciousness of it makes it easier next time someone's in front of you at the supermarket trying to cut you or be rude. So I think it's a constant awareness, and really identifying where your negative trait is, I think, is really the biggest part.
I think the real challenge, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, please.
But it's just like, I was so aware of it this morning, and I was like, you know what? It's like Eliyahu always says, these people are actually there to give you the opportunity to improve, and da-da-da. And it's real easy when everything is fine, but when it actually happens, you forget that, and it's trying to get ahead of it. Try to, you know, be proactive as opposed to reactive, I guess, is the...
I think for me, what helps is I was driving in the car a few days ago with my sister, and someone cut me off, and I started honking and screaming, and she looked at me like I was from another planet, and I think I was so embarrassed that I reacted that way that it makes it easier the next time when you're in that moment to act in that way. Sometimes it takes someone to kind of push you a little too far for you to be aware again. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it's a little bit easier. A little bit. So in order to spiritually cleanse, so that's one way we can cleanse the nefesh, there's really two types of ways you can cleanse. And the first one is the universe sends it for you, so if someone bothers you. So the person at the supermarket today for you was sent as a gift. And the second way, or the person that cuts me off on the freeway three times, so that's someone, that's the universe and it being kind of forced on you. The other way is a proactive cleansing. And that's when you do something to diminish your ego or you can fast or do something that you take on yourself to proactively cleanse yourself. So an example of, let's say, diminishing the ego, so how do I proactively cleanse myself is really the question. So about a month ago, I received a work email from a colleague of mine who's also an attorney that I've been working with forever. She's from Canada, and Canadians are usually the nicest people. She sends me an email, and there's about five of us copied on this email, and she writes, "Hey, Michelle, can you schedule a meeting for me next week with everyone on the email? Thanks." I read the email and I was a little bit angry, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm her peer, I'm not her assistant. Why is she asking me to set up a meeting for her? She has her own assistant. And I got really upset. I kind of felt a little bit angry, a little bit embarrassed. Did I do something to her? So I kind of sat in it for a little bit because I've been working with her for a long time, and I kind of wanted to give her a call and say, with all due respect, I'm not going to schedule a meeting for you. I'm happy to if you're stuck or something. But then I thought, I was like, what makes me so good not to be able to send a meeting invite? It's going to take 2 minutes. Am I too good for that? I mean, I think that that conversation I had with myself, I was struggling a little bit because I really kind of wanted to call her and tell her off. But I thought about it. I was like, you know what? Maybe this is good for my ego. I'm not that big of a deal. And maybe she just needs help. So after 5 minutes of speaking to myself, I responded to her and I said, "Hey, I tried to send the email and the invite for you, but one of the people on your email string are out of town next week. Let me know if you want me to do it for the following week or to schedule it without them." So I get a response back. "Hi, Michelle. My apologies. That email was not for you. It was for my assistant, Michelle, that was CC'd." I turned beet red. I was so embarrassed. I was about to yell at this woman who did nothing wrong. And she was, and she said, "By the way, thank you so much for even offering to do something like that. That's so kind of you." And I wanted to say, you should have heard my mind a few minutes ago. And you know, I thought about it, and I didn't even see there was another Michelle CC'd on the email. I think I become so angry, my brain went blank, and I went into like aggressive mode. And you know, for whatever reason, I hope that cleansed me, that 5 minutes I was able to kind of just take a deep breath and say, you know what, it's not a big deal. You know, I don't need to be the big shot. I can schedule a meeting for someone. So in those moments that kind of happen to us and we get challenged with something where someone doesn't recognize us, I think if we can just kind of sit in that moment and just allow it to go through, I mean, don't be a pushover or let someone treat you unfairly, but in those moments where it's not worth the argument or not worth the confrontation, that's another way you can proactively cleanse that part of your soul. So we're going to get into pain a little. I know this is a little touchy subject, but how does pain affect our soul and our body? And this could be physical pain, emotional pain, any pain that we deal with. So the good news is pain removes negativity attached to the soul and the body. So whether it's chosen or not chosen. So when the soul leaves the body and one passes and they go to hell, or we'll call it Gehinnom, the only purpose is to cleanse the soul before it elevates. So the cleansing depends on the pain that you experience in this life. Either you didn't experience the pain, if you didn't go through that cleansing, you'll be reincarnated for that type of cleansing, or you feel the pain when you go to Gehinnom. And the cleansing can be in a multiple different ways. It could be someone bruising your ego, rejection, you know, not getting approval. That type of pain is actually cleansing your soul. So as often as it is uncomfortable and painful, it actually has a positive effect. So if you guys can think of a time maybe in your life that was extremely painful and throughout it, you know, a breakup or you didn't get your dream job or something that you felt and it was extremely painful, more oftentimes than not, something really beautiful came from it and it actually opened to more joy and happiness. So anyone can think of something they want to share?
I've got a question.
Please.
You said something that totally like threw me off because you said we go to hell.
Oh, okay, yeah. I tried to
believe that there is a hell.
So it's not a place that you go to be punished. It's, you could think of it as like an infirmary that the soul goes to cleanse the negativity attached to it.
Right.
So it's kind of like a cleansing. Okay. So it's not a negative, like bubbling red boily water and yeah. Creepy dungeon. Things. Yeah. No, done like stuff like that. But it's actually a place where it's removing the negativity from the soul. And so if someone in their life is very attached to approval and has a big ego, and going through that process is going to be very difficult for them because they're more attached to more of the body consciousness, which is the approval and, oh, I'm great and I'm wonderful. And so kind of the exterior and the material issues
right.
is a little bit more burdensome and more challenging for them. But for someone that's done work on themselves and experiences that, it's very short-lived.
Okay.
So it could be like a nice breeze through.
10 seconds.
Like a nice breeze through.
Yeah.
But someone who lives their life and is very connected to the body and the materialism and the ego, it's going to be more challenging for them to remove those layers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, you know, anybody think of a time that maybe they thought was really challenging and painful, but it ended up being amazing or hidden, you know, in hindsight, it turned out to be one of the best things that ever happened. Okay, I have a good one. It wasn't good at the moment. So when I took the bar exam, I had a huge party at my house and we were all checking the results together. Not a good idea when you don't pass. So I had about 100 people at my parents' house, had a huge event for me studying for this bar exam where I locked myself in my room for 4 months to study and didn't see daylight. And I get the results and I don't pass. And it was, for me, it was anger. I cried a lot. So it was a lot of physical pain. It was a lot of emotional pain. And for 2 weeks, I locked myself in my room and did not want to study, did not want to be a lawyer anymore, and really felt excruciating pain. And I came to the point where I was like, either I'm going to study for this again, or I'm just going to forget about it and never look at a book. So I actually, to top it off, I failed by 1.5 points, which is half of a multiple choice question. So it's almost impossible to fail by 1.5 points. Makes it even more fun. So then I kept thinking, well, what if I, you know, had an extra cup of coffee? So I did all of that. So I got to the point after 2 weeks of crying myself to sleep, I got myself up and I studied for the test again. And at the time, because I failed, I didn't get what I thought was my dream job. So I ended up losing the job that I had. And I thought it was the worst thing and it was so painful. So not only now I have to go study again, but I don't have a job. So I ended up studying for the test again. And as I was studying for the test again in the library, I met someone who introduced me to my now boss. And it was clearly during the time, and I ended up passing and getting my dream job and it all worked out perfectly. But those 3 months were awful. They were painful. They were challenging. I would have done anything to have passed the first time. But in hindsight, I mean, those 3 months of crying and in pain changed my whole life. I mean, it was the biggest blessing that ever happened. So oftentimes when we're going through pain or something challenging, it's very difficult to even conceive that it's something that's removing negativity. I mean, I was actually working for a boss that wasn't that encouraging, and I probably would have gotten stuck there for a long time and have never really grew as a person or in my career. So at the time, it looked like the most difficult thing, but in hindsight, it actually redirected me to something even more unbelievable than I could imagine. So I think, not that it makes it easier when you're going through something painful, but oftentimes it's cleansing something or redirecting you to a better way. Another way you can remove pain is by studying spirituality. So hopefully tonight some pain is being removed and you'll have a really light, easy week. Just putting it out there. So now that we've gone over the different levels and the different ways to spiritually cleanse, to go to the different levels, why do we even reincarnate? So what's the point? Why do we come? How do we know when to come? So there's really three reasons why we reincarnate. The first one is you come to rectify a negative action you did. So what does that mean? Let's say last lifetime you robbed a bank, you were like Bonnie and Clyde, and you come back to this life to not rob a bank, to not steal, to not act in that behavior. The people that come back, the souls that come back during this reincarnation, they're very likely to sin. So they're going to have that urge to steal, to shoplift, to engage in that kind of behavior. It's going to be a lot more challenging for them. The second type of reincarnation is those that fail to perform a positive action. So someone lives a great life, they're really wonderful to everyone, they have a great job, they're kind to strangers, but they never gave charity to a beggar, ever. So they come back and they're reincarnated to have that opportunity to do that one thing that they missed. And people that come back for this reason, they're unlikely to sin because their nature is just to fix that part. So they're coming back to correct that piece. So it can be anything. It could be being kind to a stranger, saying nice things about someone. There was something that was missing from their life that they come back to rectify. And the third is those that come for the sake of others, to direct others and to teach them. So they're here as volunteers. They've completed all the levels of the soul and they come here to help us. So if you guys can take a moment and share which one of these three you might think you are, if anybody wants to share, or maybe you guys are all number three.
I feel like there's a part of all three.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I mean, it's like, one of my questions is this whole thing is like, well, you know, how perfect do you have to be as far as rectifying a negative action? I mean, I can't, of course I don't know, it's previous lives, but yeah, I had to have some negative actions and then be able to perform a positive. I mean, if I forgot to give charity one time to somebody, I just don't get the whole, how perfect do you have to be in order to move on?
So I don't think it's like a number of times. It might just be like the quality. Like maybe you don't give charity your whole life, and then one time you give it to that one person and it shifts something for them. So I don't think it's kind of quantitative. I think it may be more qualitative. And who knows, in your last life, maybe you cleansed all the negative actions. So maybe you're just here for that one thing. So it really depends. I wish I knew, but
I can't give you an answer.
Right.
Because I feel like I'm right here for all three.
And I think all of us really connect to a little bit of each, because sometimes we feel that we're here to help someone. And then I know there's always something that I feel like I should be doing that's missing, but I'm not really sure what it is. And, you know, sometimes we all have that negative action that we really have to overcome. So I think all of us can really identify with one of the three. But I think one, I think, might be the most prevalent, and that's the reason why you come, even though all three can be relatable. Okay, great. So I'd like, before we do a recap, kind of like to do a short meditation with all of you and those of you at home. So if you guys can close your eyes, that would be wonderful. Feet flat on the floor. Make sure you uncross your hands and your feet. Great. So take a deep breath in, deep breath out. Taking deep breaths, and you feel relaxed from your feet going all the way up to your legs. Deep breath in, deep breath out. You feel the relaxation on your stomach going up to your chest, relaxing your face. Another deep breath in. I want you to imagine you're standing on a mountain, and on the other side of the mountain, you can see your personal paradise. So whether it's a beautiful beach, a tropical forest, or a serene body of water. Take a moment and look at that personal paradise for you. Breathing in, breathing out. So in order to get on the side of your peaceful area, you're going to need to provide one action that you will attempt to refrain from this week. This is a negative action that you are challenged with. So this can be impatience, jealousy, anger with your neighbor. So go ahead and focus on that action. Maybe laziness on a project. And now I want you to focus on refraining from that one action this week, not engaging in that behavior. Now that you have identified that action, now you can cross over to your personal paradise that you are able to see. Take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath out. You have now entered that place, your personal paradise, and you feel true peace, tranquility. Your soul is calm. You feel connected to all the blessings waiting for you. That's health. That's love. That's prosperity. You have peace of mind here. And take it in. Take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath out. Really take in how wonderful it feels and how you feel one with your soul, and you feel true happiness and calmness. Take a deep breath in, feeling the sun on your skin, hearing the waves, hearing nature. Take a couple more deep breaths. And now focus on taking that action that you promised and taking it in for the week and asking for help and guidance for yourself and everyone in the room with you. Take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath out. Now counting back from three, deep breath in. Deep breath out. Two. Deep breath in. Deep breath out. One. Deep breath in. Deep breath out. And open your eyes whenever you're ready. So hopefully you guys can take this meditation with you, and really, as simple as it sounds, maybe that one negative action that you can refrain from this week is preventing you from cleaning that champagne glass for all of those things that you're waiting for. So just to do kind of a quick recap of tonight, so you want to focus on the negative action for this week and really wish that everyone this week is really successful at it. So I will be taking Ubers all week. I won't be getting in the car. And really know it. As long as I don't yell at the Uber driver. It's true. It is. I will drive. And taking the knowledge and awareness of what you learned tonight, while it's not, it doesn't make the challenges easier, just having the roadmap and knowing that these are points that you can overcome and really work on. And then also thinking about why has your soul come back, and are we doing what we came to do in this life? So with that, thank you very much.